in complete wakeful awareness. Cut the connection to body identification. Sever the connection to language. Cross through the moment of the death of the body and the release of consciousness from all of its sheaths. Passing beyond the Sutratma, beyond the cosmic Mahasutratma. Pass through the diaphanon. Into the uncreated supernal light. merge into the stillness of the Absolute. Completely free of thought, establish the attention in the alert, silent presence of the Absolute Self. Fuse with the ultimate source of being, the never born, formless, total consciousness. remain in the timeless present, where no emotions can reach, no thoughts, no sleep, no forgetting, no chatter, but only the pristine, blissful light of the Supreme Intelligence. Shiva. Parameshvaraya. Shivaya, Shiva, Nama. Om Shivoham. We'll continue with Thus Spake Ramana. We're at number 94. Pure consciousness, wholly unrelated to the physical body, and transcending the mind, is a matter of direct experience. Is that true for you? Are you abiding in pure consciousness that transcends mind and body? This must be a direct experience. Ramana says, sages know their bodiless, eternal existence, just as, here it says the layman, but I would say the non-jnani, knows his bodily existence. So in the same way that one identified with thought and with the organism feels they have a direct knowledge of the body, the jnani, the sage, knows the bodiless awareness, the existence that is eternal, that is prior to the birth of the body and that exists beyond its death. So Ramana says the experience of consciousness can be with bodily awareness as well as without it. In the bodily experience of pure consciousness, the sage is beyond time and space. In the bodiless experience, the sage is beyond time and space. And no question about the position of the heart can then at all arise. So you remember in the early days of Ramana's teaching, people would always ask him where to focus, and he would say, focus in the heart. And they would say, where's that? Is that the organ that's pumping blood? And he'd say, no, it's the other side, where you point to yourself and say, I. But later he said he didn't really mean that, but he was talking to everybody who was in the imaginary register, identified with their body. But heart means the center of consciousness. It is nowhere and everywhere. It cannot be located. It has no position. All positions are within the heart. The self is beyond all time and space and therefore all positions. So the experience of consciousness that is bodiless, the realization that you are non-localizable, eliminates all questions, eliminates all doubts, all fears, all desires, because one is in the heart of God. So Ramana goes on in 95. In a sense, speaking of self-realization is itself a delusion. This is one of the most important points of the teaching, I think. It is only because people have been under the delusion that the not-self is the self and the unreal the real, that they have to be weaned out of it by the other delusion called self-realization. Because actually, the self is always the self, and there is no such thing as realizing it. The self doesn't realize itself because it always is in that state of realization. It doesn't happen in time, and it's never lost. So there is no one to be awakened and made to realize the self. That's the illusion, that there is an ego separate from the self. Not that that ego must be awakened to the self. So therefore, there is no such thing as self-realization to strive for, because you have never been separate from the one self. It's that illusion that must be let go of, that's all. So Ramana says, there's no such thing as realizing the self. Who is to realize what and how, when all that exists is the self and nothing but the self? Does preaching consist in mounting a platform and haranguing people? Preaching is simple communication of the truth. It can really be done in silence only. What do you think of one who listens to a sermon for an hour and goes away without having been so impressed by it as to change his life? But compare him to another who sits in a holy presence and goes away after some time with his outlook on life totally changed. Which is the better, to speak loudly without effect or to sit silently, sending out inner force? So this is how yoga began, with silence, with the teaching, the transmission of that inner force. And we sit in meditation in order to cultivate that inner force. We sit in outer silence, but that's not enough. We must sit in inner silence, the silence that is that inner force. And once we have become merged with that inner force, then nothing can take you away from it. And that force, because it is timeless, because it is beyond life and death, is fearless and is in attunement with the vibrational frequency of the absolute self that is always blissful, always intelligent, because completely in union with the ordainer of the flow of time, and therefore completely transcendent of all concern for the illusory world. And its only purpose is that of the light, the candle, the flame that both illumines and purifies and destroys the illusion, bringing once again the truth of our absolute being into full emergence. May you realize your oneness with that supernal light. May you know the peace and the silence that comes of having taken refuge with the Supreme Lord, who is beyond life and death, time and space. And entered into the abode of absolute silence. May you know the even deeper peace of the stillness that comes of the complete merging with the One Supreme Lord. In the realization of the uncreated, eternal absolute as yourself. And may you attain the supreme realization of peace, stillness, and bliss in the knowledge that no one ever did reach that, because no one ever left that state of absolute presence. And even the dream of the illusory world vanishes in the absolute light.